Today's shiur is in Masechta Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Ches, the last Mishnah of Perek Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, who was Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? In the last Mishnah we learned Shimon Benoi, and Shimon was the son of Rav Gamliel Hazaken, who was the son of Shimon, who was the son of Hillel. So the order of the Doiris is Hillel, then Shimon, then Gamliel Hazaken, then Shimon Benoi of the last Mishnah, and then his son was Rav Gamliel Hasheni of Yavne, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel of our Mishnah is the grandson of Shimon Benoi, Shimon the son of Rav Gamliel Hazaken. And Rav Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah is the father of Rav Yehuda Anasi, who we will find starts off Perek Beis, Rabbi Oimer. This is Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Rav Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah was the head of the Sanhedrin. He lived after the rebellion of Bar Kochva, and there were tremendous tzoros in his times. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, tells us that Rav Shimon Gamliel said concerning the Megillas Tainus that was written to record all the tzoros that Klal Yisrael suffered and the special days that were set aside to commemorate those tzoros, said Rav Shimon Gamliel, Af anu mechavvim es hatzoros. We also treasure the remembrance of the tzoros. Aval ma nase, what should we do? Shem banu lichtoiv ein anu maspikim. If we were to record all the days of tzoros that we have suffered, Rashi explains there, lefi sheheng tadirois. They are constant and consistent daily, and therefore we cannot have a remembrance of the days of Tzoros because it would be each and every day of the year. Rav Shimon Gamliel also said, "Miyom shechar beis hamikdash bedinhu shloin nechal baser v'loin nishte yayin," as we find in the Tosfos brought down in cited the Tesvav Yud. I believe it's the Tosefta in Saita, and the Tosefta says that from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, really, we shouldn't eat meat or drink wine. Ela shein goizrin al tzibur ala oisim advorim shem yichoyim lamed bem. We're not goizer exera on the tzibur, which they cannot withstand, not being able to eat meat or drink wine. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, al shloisha advorim ha'olam oimed. The world stands on 3 feet, 3 pillars. This is the same lashon as we had before at the beginning of this parak in Mishnah Beis. However, the Rav brings a girsa that it's not in our Mishnah. It's al shloisha dvarim ha'olam kayem. The world exists, not that it stands on 3 pillars. And the Rav explains that our Mishnah is referring to yeshuvai shel b'nei adam, the living together, the social intercourse between people, as the Meiri elaborates, that in Mishnah Beis we are speaking about what makes the world exist. If you don't have Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, then the world has no Kiyum. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, we have spoken out before in the Shiurim, has told us that if the world would be for 1 second without Torah, the world would be impossible to exist. So these are the fundamentals of the existence of the world. Mishnah Beis, al shloisha dvorim ha'olam oimed. Our Mishnah, which is al shloisha dvorim ha'olam kayam, they are speaking that once we have a world, but humanity has to be able to get along one with the other. If humanity would tolerate chamas, gezel, and breakdown between man and man, then society would totally disintegrate and people would destroy each other. That's the focus of our Mishnah, according to the Girsa, al shloisha dvorim ha'olam kayem. And what are these 3 things? Al adin, on justice, v'al emes, on truth, v'al shalom, and peace. Concerning din, we find the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, and Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, that we are told to be matzdik the tzaddik and to find guilty that person who is a rasha, who the din is not like him. The din is like Reuven and not like Shimon. And therefore, if Shimon has money that belongs to Reuven, Beis Din has an obligation to render a just decision to return the money of Shimon that Shimon has in his possession to the correct and rightful owner, which is Reuven. And on this, the Gemara says in Shabbos and Sanhedrin, Kol Dayan Shadon Din Emes Lamitoi. If he judges a true justice, which the Mefarshim explained to mean that even Sheker has to have some emes to it. But that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for Sheker that has some emes, but rather we're looking for Dayin Shadon Din Emes Lamitoi, that the emes has a emes goal, that it's totally 100% emes, and not emes just to make the Sheker seem like it's emes. Otherwise, if there would be no emes whatsoever, then the lie, the falsehood would be preposterous. So the Sheker has to have some emes also. No, we're looking for a Dayan who's done din emes la'amitoi. Such a person, nasa shutav la'kadosh baruch hu b'masa bereishis, who becomes a partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of Shemayim v'oretz, u'mashra shechina b'Yisrael. He causes the shechina to dwell amongst Klal Yisrael. So that's the first one, din. And then we come to v'ala emes, truthfulness. As we said, it has to be emes lamitoi. And finally, v'ala sholem, peace. And this refers, the Bartanura tells us, both to peace between kingdoms and also on a private level, bein odom l'chaveroi. And we find in the Sefri, in Parshas Nasai, Gadol HaShalom, Shafilu Yisrael, Oivdem Avodah Zorah, V'Shalom B'neihem, Ein Midas HaDin Poygas Bahem. Even if Klal Yisrael is serving Avodah Zorah, but they have peace amongst them, then the Midas HaDin does not reach them. Avol Mishenechleku, V'Ein Shalom, but if there is division and machlokus between them, and no peace, Afilu G'shem Makaimim HaSatara, even if they fulfill the Torah, Midas HaDin Poygas Bahem, the Midas HaDin reaches them. And the Sefri there brings Psukim to prove this. And the Sefri concludes, Mikan Shegodol HaSholom V'Sonei HaMachlokus, that we see how great peace is and how hated machlokus is. And similarly, we have a Rashi in Parshas Noyech, at the end of Parshas Noyech, Perik Yud Aleph Pasuk Tes, where Rashi speaks about the Dor HaFloga, and he says that although Einlam Chelik Lom Abba, they have no Chelik in the world to come, but we find that they were not destroyed like the Dor HaMabel. The Dor HaMabel was totally obliterated through the Mabel. And the Rashi asked the question, V'chi Ezu Kosha, Shal Dor HaMabel Shal Dor HaFloga? Whose Aver was worse, that of the Dor HaMabel or that of the Dor HaFloga? Elu Loi Poshti Yad Be'ikr, Ve'elu Poshti Yad Be'ikr. The Dor HaMabel did not challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had Averis Ben Onim L'Chaveroi. They stole from each other. They committed adultery, but they didn't fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas Dor HaFloga had a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elu Pashtu Yad Be'ikr Lilachem Boi, to fight against Hashem. And yet we find Ve'elu Nishtafu, Ve'elu Loi Nevdu Min Olam. The Dor HaMabel was totally wiped off the face of the earth, and the Dor HaFloga was not wiped off the face of the earth. What's the reason for that? And Rashi answers, Elo Shador HaMabel Hoyu Gazlonim, Vaisa Mariva B'neim. They stole, they fought between each other. Lekach Nevdu, therefore they were destroyed. The Midas HaDin reached them. The Elu, the Dor HaFloga Hoyu Noagim Aviv Reis B'neim. They fought Hashem, but amongst themselves there was unity and love between each other. Shenem are Safa Achaz Lutvor Machodim. They had one goal, one language, one purpose to fight Hashem. Lamarita, Rashi concludes, Shesonui Hamachloikis, division and argument is hated by Hashem, the Gadol HaShalom, and peace is tremendous, is great, even if the peace is to fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if there's peace between humanity, there is Shalom. And so the Mishnah here concludes from a pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Ches, pasuk Tezayin, Emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sharechem. That if you have these three things, if you're judging in your courts, in your gates where the Beis Din was koveya itself, if you have the emes and you have the mishpat, the din, and you have the shalom, you have all three things, this secures the Kiyum Olam. And just to end with a story that I have heard recently, I heard that Rav Moshe Tovia Liev Shlita said over this story from Hagoyin Rav Nosson Gestetner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that in his last days, when he was on his deathbed, the doctor noticed the calmness of Rav Nosson Gestetter. He asked them, what are you thinking about now? And they all knew that he was a few short days or hours before his death. And he said, I'm thinking about a Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And he was totally calm. And the doctor wondered, I don't understand. You know what you're facing. How do you exhibit such calmness? And Rav Nosson Gestetner, who had authored, I believe it was 64 in his lifetime, with another 70 or something of that nature, in ready to be published, a tremendous amount, over 100 Sforim. And what did he say? Why is he so calm? He answered, because in 45 years, I have never chepped another one. I have never had any ill feelings, ben adam l'chaveroi, and for that I am calm. And from the point that Rav Leif brought out from this story is, Rav Gestetner did not say, well, I've written so many svarim, and I have so many more that are ready to be published, that's what I have nothing to fear about the Yom HaDin. No, it was the shalom, it was the ben adam l'chaveroi, it was non-oinoaz dvorim, non-hurting another person. It was that goodwill that he had been on the Chaveri, which gave Rav Nosson Gestetner Zitzal the calmness before he was Nifter. And so, on this note, we end off Perek Aleph, and we are about to begin Perek Beis of Pirkei Avos. Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Oimer. Who was Rabbi? Rabbi is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. When we have in Mishnayis Rabbi, it refers to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who was the redactor, the Mesader of the Mishnah. He was the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who we learned in the last Mishnah in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yudches. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, his son was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And why was he called Rabbi and not Rabban? For example, his father was Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's grandfather was Rabban Gamliel. The Nesiim of who came from Hillel, from Beis Hillel, they were all referred to with the title of Rabban. Why did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi not receive that same title? And the answer is because by calling him Rabbi, it meant he's the Rabban shall call Yisrael. And he wasn't even known by his regular name of Rabbi Yehuda, but rather Rabbi. He is the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. And that title of Rebbe became his individual name. Instead of calling him Rabbi Yehuda, his name became Rebbe. And also he is known as Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And so the Rambam in the Akdamah to the Pirush Mishnayis beautifully explains who Rabbi was. V'hoya yachid b'dayri. He was an individual, unique in his generation. V'echad b'zmanai. And the only one like him in his time. Ish shenimtzu by kol hachamudos v'amidos hatovos. An individual, a person who in him was found all the precious, beautiful character traits. Ad shezocha behen eitzel anshei doyru l'kroyser Rabbeinu HaKadosh, until he merited to be called by the people who lived in his generation that he was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the holy teacher of all of us. Continues the Rambam, v'hoya b'chochma uv'mayla b'tachlisan. He came to the highest pinnacle of wisdom and greatness. K'moy she'amru, the Gemara in Gittin, daf nun tes amud aleph states, mimois Moshe v'ad Rabbi lo ra'inu Torah gedula b'makom echad. From Moshe until Rabbi, until Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, until Rabbeinu HaKadosh, we never found Torah and greatness in one place. And the Rambam continues, v'hoya b'tachlis hachasidus v'anova. He was the epitome of piousness and humbleness. Voyotzach loshen, his speech was very clear. Umuflug mikol adam loshen hakodesh. He surpassed anybody living at that time in the use of loshen hakodesh. When Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's father, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, was nifter, Rabbi took over as the nasi of Klal Yisrael. For most of his life, he lived in the city Beis Shearim, and that's where the Sanhedrin went in his time. But towards the end of his life, the last 17 years of his life, when he was ill, he moved to Tzipori, which had very healthy air, to help him during his illness. So Rebbe says, Ezui derech yishar sheyuvar lo ya'adam. What is the straight path? The Rav Bartanura tells us sheyavar means sheyivrar. What is the straight path that a person should choose for himself in his life? And Rebbe answers, kol shehi teferes lo'isa, or some have the girsa lo'iseha, the teferes lo'imina adam. If we're goris lo'osea, it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on the pasuk in Tillim, Kuf Mem Tes, pasuk Beis, Yismach Yisrael bo'isav, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who made Klal Yisrael. So too the Mishnah is saying that a person should do something, anything that he does should be good for humanity, and it should be good for Hashem who created him. If we're goris lo'iseha, it means that whatever a person does in his life should be pleasing to Teferes Lamed Adam, to humanity. At the same time, it should be good for the oiseha, the person himself who's doing the act. And the Rav brings down the Rambam's pshat in this Mishnah, that the Mishnah is telling us that a person should always, in all midos, go in the middle of a midah, except for kas and anivus, which the Rambam tells us that a person has to go to the extreme, not get angry. He has to be to the extreme humble. But as far as all other midos are concerned, he should always go in the derech hamemutza, the middle road. And the Rambam and the Rav give an example in the midah of spending money. A person could be a kamtzan, that he doesn't spend on anything. He hoards the money to himself. So that's good for him. He winds up with a lot of money, but it's not fair slime and adam. People will not praise him for the fact that he's a kamtzan. On the other hand, if he's a pazran, he gets money and immediately it vanishes from his hand. He gives out all his money. It's teferes lamina adam. People will praise him for giving out all his money to tzedakah, for spending all his money. But it's not teferes lo'iseha. It's not good for the individual himself. The derech hamemutza is the midah of nedivus. Nedivus is that he keeps what he needs for himself, but he's a nadvan, that he gives generously to help other people as well. That's the derech hamemutza. And so too, in all midos, one has to find the middle between the two extremes. Continues Rebbe, Vevizor b'mitzvah kalah v'chamura. What you think is a mitzvah kala, an easy, light mitzvah that has no, not much importance, treat it with the same seriousness as what you consider chamura, what you consider a very important and strong, difficult mitzvah. Why? You really don't know. The Torah never told us what the reward is for mitzvahs. What you think is a mitzvah kala, perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that mitzvah is giving more reward than for the mitzvah that you think is a chamur. And the Rav points out that this part of the mission is speaking about mitzvahs asay. As the Rav says, lo nisparish b'Torah schar hamakayim mitzvahs asay v'loy oynish hamavatel mi'asayson. The Torah doesn't tell us explicitly what reward we get for doing a mitzvah asay or the punishment for not doing a mitzvah asay. The ilu onshin shel mitzvahs loisasem for ashenein. The punishments for mitzvahs loisase, that is clear. There are those who get skila, sreifa, herig, chenek, chorus, misa b'dei shemayim, malchus, ho'einish akal, avei rakala, v'achomer l'chamura. As far as losases are concerned, it's very clear which one is considered harder than the other, the one that gets the harder oinish. The one that gets skila is much worse than the one that gets the easiest of the arba mises, which is choking chenek. Or it's easier than something which a person only gets malchus for. That's by los ase. But by ase, the Torah did not explain that to us. And therefore, you always have to think that perhaps what I consider as kala is really something that Hashem considers very chashuv,
and you'll even get more schar for that than what you consider to be chamura. And then Rabbi continues, "Vavi machashev hefsed mitzvah keneged schara, uschara vera keneged hefseda." A person should always make a reckoning. He should say, "I'm going to lose by this mitzvah. By keeping Shabbos, I may lose money in my business." But keneged schara, is that compared to the schar of what I'm going to get in living a life on this world of Shabbos? And certainly in the world to come, the reward that I'm going to get for keeping Shabbos. So if I make that calculation, it's clear that I should be a Shomer Shabbos. On the other hand, schar avera, if I embezzled money and through not being honest in business, I gained money, but make a reckoning, keneged hefseda. What are you going to lose out, both in this world and in the next world? What's the einish going to be for you for doing this crime? When you make that accounting, you will come out that you should stay far away from that avera. And then Rebbe concludes with the following. V'stakel v'shloisha dvorim v'yata bo lidei avera. You should be mistakel. Mistakel is a stronger lashon than re'iyo. It's not just looking at something, but it's being mizbonein. It's looking deep, meditating. Look deeply at the following three things. And if you meditate on them, you will not come, not only you won't come to an avera, but the Meforshim explained, you will not come lidei avera, meaning that you have a pot on the stove, it's very hot. You can't touch the pot itself. So what do you touch? Not the metal pot, but the wooden handle, and by picking up the wooden handle, that picks up the pot. So the three things that we're going to discuss here at the end of the Mishnah, will, if you're mistakel in them, if you're mizbonin in them, you not only won't you come to the aver itself, but you won't even come to things that lead to an aver, to the hands of an aver, lidei aver. And what are those three things? Da malam moch, know what is above you. And what is that? Ayin roya, there's an eye that sees. Ve'oizen shermas, there's an ear that hears. Ve'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtovim, and all your deeds are written in a sefer, and that sefer will be shown to you when you come to the Olam Ha'emes. If a person is mistakel in these three things, it will cause him to stay away from averus. There's a famous Chofetz Chaim on this Mishnah that tells us, people have the attitude when it comes to inventions that our generation, every year, is getting more and more advanced in terms of technology, in terms of inventions. And Chofetz Chaim says it's really the opposite. Because we're becoming lower and lower in emunah, that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam had to create all of these inventions. People used to have emunah that the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ayin Roya, he can see. If I can see, then the Rabbi Shalom can see. Da mala mala, do you want to know what's above? Mimach, from yourself. Whatever you can do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could certainly do it. So people used to have the emunah that if I'm able to see, the Rabbi Shalom is able to see me and see what I'm doing. If I can hear, the Rabbi Shalom can hear me speaking Lashon Hara, Chas V'Shalom. However, as the generations went further and further, they lost that emunah. And therefore, the Rabbi Shalom had to bring into the world all kinds of inventions, computers that can make billions of calculations in a moment. So that gives us emunah that there's a Rabbi Shalom who can also have billions of calculations of every person that's living at this time. Hashem can see from one end of the world to the other, and so man has developed satellites and telescopes that allow him to see from far away distances. If we can do it, mimach da malamal mimach, all these inventions are all to give us emunah, that because our emunah is weak. And therefore, we needed inventions to show us that if man can do it, then certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to do it. And if we think of that, that will enable us to stay away even from the hands of an Avera.